This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Welcome back to Saturday Magazine, 10 minutes past 11 on this Boxing Day morning with Mecca and Leanne. That was Simply Red with Something Got Me Started. Before that, Annie Lennox. Why? Why, Mecca? Why did we do it?
Something Got Me Started many years ago.
Do I want to know?
I was 1978. Mardi Gras got arrested.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, you were one of those, the 78ers.
I was, yes. It was an interesting experience, perhaps for another day, another story about what happened.
I was going to say, we're not doing your life journey at the moment, but it does beg the question, did that experience, I guess, contribute to your fight for rights that continues to this day?
Yes, absolutely.
Because I know you're passionate about it.
It was the hypocrisy of it but, you know, the environment's changed, and as I've said, we're 95% there. We're 95% there. That last 5% is very elusive.
Well, on the line, we've got someone who, I guess, has contributed to those things changing and hopefully to the 5% change as well. Good morning, Bronwyn Pike.
Oh, good morning. Great to be talking to you on this big Boxing Day.
It is. Now, Bronnie, what did you do yesterday? What was the Terps and Tucker like?
I'm in Adelaide, so all my family live here. So we had 13 for lunch and 20 for dinner.
Oh my God!
And I didn't eat any of them.
Were you tempted?
No, we did the whole caboose. We had the turkey, the ham, and everything. But I kind of did a contemporary twist on it all. You know, made it a bit more modern. And
that's always good.
Yeah, that's cool. And, so a big day, lots of bevvies dealt with. I've got three sons, and then I've also got a number of nephews. They're all about that sort of 25 to 30 age group, so they're not very restrained.
Isn't that fun? Isn't that good fun?
It is, yeah. So it's fantastic. I think they clocked off at about 2 a.m., throwing another couple of things on the barbecue after, you know, getting a third wind, so to speak.
Fantastic.
Oh, dear. So anyway, it was great. And we were over actually at a place called Goolwa, which is just near Victor Harbour in South Australia. You sort of hide your Victorian number plates over here because they're a bit worried about the water in the Coorong and the lakes.
Well, of course, we do have an ex-Victorian, Robin McLeod, who's the South Australian Water Security Minister, and she's doing a good job there. And
she's doing a fantastic job, and actually we know that Victoria is not the problem in the water area. It's Queensland and New South Wales.
Of course.
But anyway, they don't like us here very much, so we sort of have to deal with that. But anyway, took the little schnauzer on the beach for a walk this morning, the rolling Southern Ocean coming in, and fantastic.
Sounds gorgeous. So after a big year, you can unwind a little bit?
Look, you know, it takes a while, and I am, because I've just been here for a couple of days, and I also was thinking this morning, you know, that I spend so much of my life meeting people and seeing people that then Christmas Day is all people as well. And, you know, you're thinking, well, gee, why aren't I sparking on all fours, you know?
Unlike the schnauzer.
So what was the highlight of the year for you, Bronnie? I mean, it's been an interesting year, and we've had a few questions from listeners which we'll put to you. But
for you,
what's been the biggest challenge of the year for you, I suppose, politically? What's put the wind up here?
We've obviously in my portfolio in education, we were blessed earlier in the year with this huge amount of additional funding to spend about $2.3 billion on upgrading all of the schools. And that blessing, of course, came with it. You know, huge obligations to roll the money out really quickly, to get the job done properly, to, you know, have public confidence in it, etc. So we'd already embarked on a pretty big building program with our own state government money, and then you add to that all of that. So it's about over $3 billion altogether. So it's been an absolutely huge year. yeah, in doing all of that.
Because I suppose the other, you know, thing in education, I mean, recently on Detours, and I'm sorry the guy's name escapes me, but he does courses and seminars on challenging homophobia, and a lot of it is done in schools.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think we've progressed there? I mean, I think back to when, I think it was Princess Hill Primary, when they marched in Pride March.
That's right.
How much further do we need to go? I mean, obviously...
We always need to go further, you know. I mean, this year we published a book which we provided to every single school on particularly addressing homophobia within the schools, but also kind of respecting sexual difference, you know, talking with kids about these issues, incorporating it constructively into sex ed, all of those sorts of things. And really it's about changing the culture and making sure that gay and lesbian people are not alienated. Kids, you know, this can be an incredibly difficult time for kids, in any child or young person, you know, through puberty and everything, and even more difficult when the dominant paradigm is heterosexuality. And so we've done that, and we keep working at these things. And but, you know, we had a pretty nasty incident at one of our schools this year. A young man was putting up some posters for the Equal Love Rally and got screamed at by an older gentleman who was a volunteer in the school. So, you know, that stuff still happens.
Now, we had I suppose almost this is a little bit of a segue. We know that... I'll read this to you absolutely as it came in. Here's a question I have when Joy discusses issue around labour and rights.
Hmm.
And it's headed question for Bronwyn Pike. If you're such a supporter of GBLTIQ rights, why didn't you cross the floor on grand final day when Rob Holles brought that disgusting bill, and I agree, that allows religious organisations to continue to discriminate?
Well, you know, I think that what I would want to do is put that in a broader context. And the broader context is that over the last 10 years that we've been in government, that Rob and others of us have been progressively introducing legislation that has stripped discrimination from hundreds of acts of parliament. And we have also, you know, as you know, done a lot in the area of fertility rights and abortion reform and all of those sorts of things. And I see these things as a journey. You're absolutely right when you said we're 95% there. And the Equal Opportunity Act review did see a huge number of changes. It didn't get to the point that some of us would have liked to, but it's a journey, and I think people have to look at it in the context of what's politically doable at a certain point in time and whether it's all moving in the right direction. And so that's how I see that issue. And I think we are a very pluralistic society, and we have many different sort of cultural and faith groups, and we want to bring people along with us. And for some people, these are kind of line in the sand issues. So we've just got to keep going on the journey.
Because, I mean, look, I understand that. Now, but a lot of the religious schools receive funding. Now, you know, it's our money too. And I, you know, I see, and you know, I said so publicly, you know, to Rob that I'd marked him down on this because this wasn't, you know, this was an opportunity to perhaps not go as far as I would like, but to progress it a bit further that, you know, it's our money that's being used to discriminate against us.
Mm.
And, you know, so, I mean, how do we get over that hurdle, Bronnie? How do we, you know, get, you know, the religious organisations to understand, you know, it's a bit like the argument with IVF, etc. If you don't want to give people access, then remove public funding. Because the state ultimately has the role in moving the debate on. So if the state allows or sanctions, because that's what those changes did, sanctions discrimination.
Yeah, well, they didn't. The changes didn't sanction it. They just allowed it to remain. It was there, if you like. But which is you know, is a problem. I agree. Now, look, but what you're really talking about in terms of schools, etc., is a much bigger issue, and that is around the state government, the Commonwealth and state funding of non-government schools. Mm. And your listeners might be interested to know that Australia is one of the very few countries in the world, in fact, that does provide government funding for private schools. Mm. Places like Canada and the UK, the Catholic system is incorporated into the state government or the government funding system, but any other school doesn't receive any government funding at all. So the issue of that and what then you can demand from a school that received government funding is a much bigger question. And I think Julia Gillard, to her credit, has, for example, tightened the reporting requirements, tightened the financial reporting requirements for non-government schools, and they all kicked up, I might add. Mm. So, I think that it's important to again see these things in a historical context, that for years there were no strings attached. We're now bringing in strings, and in the longer term, the kinds of strings you're talking about ought to be there to bind people as well.
You know, look, I understand it's, you know, it's a work in progress, but do you ever see the situation, Bronnie, where, and this is always a difficult one, we put a similar question to Andrea, where, you know, you perhaps might cross the floor on something like this. Is that something or...
I feel this way. You know, people often ask me, how can you bear to be in a political party vote along party lines unless it's a conscience, you know, we're actually allowed a conscience vote? And what I say is that I made a decision to join the Labor Party and to be a Labor candidate. And I knew that what that meant is that I have my arguments within the family, mm-hmm. and I work as hard as I possibly can to bring about the kind of change that I believe in. But in the end, if every single person just completely does their own thing and there's no attempt for kind of party consensus, then the whole show falls apart. And I don't think it's right for me just to pick and choose my favourite little issues and say, well, I'm just going to go it alone on this one, team. You know, thanks very much for supporting me to get elected. Thanks very much for choosing me to get pre-selected. You know, thanks very much for, being there for me over all these years. But, you know, I'm kind of bigger than you all. So, you know, I actually have a very strong view about loyalty and, the party does make decisions around conscience votes on certain issues, but where we don't, we stick together as a team because that provides good, solid, predictable government. And if you just look at the mess that the Liberals are in federally at the moment, you'll see a classic example of where you've just got everyone just running off and doing their own thing, and the public are just going to say, well, gee, why would we vote for this show?
I think it's going to be very interesting to see how that all plays out. I said earlier that I think Tony Abbott is actually going to get some traction, but I think come an election environment, I expect he'll provide some entertaining comment. But
yeah,
you know, it is real. He's not afraid to talk about his religious beliefs, and a lot of politicians hold them. I have no issue with that. But, we do have a separation of church and state, but, you know, some of his views are quite frightening, and particularly around abortion and the role of the public health system. I think there's some issues there, and youth suicide as well. I mean, he's made some pretty outrageous statements.
Oh, that's right. I think he just says, you know, people should get over it, and all that sort of thing. And he was like that when he was health minister with me, so I got to know him quite well. And he is a bit of a sort of self-made man kind of guy, you know, like we used to talk about obesity issues with young people, and he had no tolerance for that.
Oh, yeah, just say they just need to go out for a run.
That's their problem. Just send them out for a run, you know. So pretty shallow understanding of generational issues, of, you know, mental health issues, of things that, you know, the ordinary person confronts pretty much in their daily life. Very judgmental person.
Well, it's like you were saying, Bronwyn, I mean, you have your own personal views that you have, and sometimes that can be representative. You have your party ones, but then you have the community ones or the electorate that you represent as well.
Oh,
and those three aren't necessarily always in alignment.
And it is an absolute challenge to try and bring it all together and honestly and faithfully do that, not lose your own personal integrity, you know, stick with the team. And as you say, then, you know, the community is very disparate. My own electorate of Melbourne, it has, you know, a huge range of views. And I, you know, listen to those, and I do try and faithfully represent them where I can. But ultimately, in a democracy, the majority view is supposed to prevail, and that means that sometimes a view that's different does get left behind. So, but, you know, it is very interesting to see what's happening federally at the moment, and, you know, to see what Tony Abbott's going to kind of pull together as a key platform initiative that's going to be a coherent policy framework.
That's right. Watch this space. Now, back to Victoria. 330 campaigning days left.
I know. So, 26th of December today, 26th of November yesterday.
Yeah, it's probably actually 335, I think.
Oh, you've done your worked it out?
Give or take a public holiday.
It's going to be an absolutely huge year. And, you know, there are this, as we've already been talking about, there are really important social issues that people are passionate about, and I'm pretty passionate about too. And then there's just delivering good, solid government, you know, using the money that we've got, and it's not, you know, a bottomless pit or whatever it is, the magic pudding, but you, Christmas analogy.
No threepences left down there.
Yeah, not much. But anyway, you know, it's not, so you've got to use it wisely, judiciously, in the best interest of the whole state. You've got to keep the economy ticking along, growing, developing. Got to make sure kids get good education, people get pretty solid health care, you know, all of that sort of stuff, the bread and butter things.
Now, we, as you probably know, Joy members in a recent survey, I think 94% said that they want Joy to take on a greater advocacy role in the community.
Well, I think that's fantastic, and I think Joy should. And, you know, I've been very involved in the Equal Love campaign. This is one issue where I have been, and I think the state government's done a lot of good things, but there's one bit of legislation that's got to change, and that's that federal legislation.
Exactly.
And the Federal Marriage Act has to change, and
We got Nicola Roxon, unfortunately. She did that. I know your view may not accord with mine, but she did the dirt on us she stood up with the Howard government and said marriage is between a man and a woman.
Yeah, well, see, that's just rubbish.
Mm. Yeah.
And you see, I'm an old English teacher, so, you know, I know how language changes over time. We don't speak Middle English anymore. We don't, you know, speak like Chaucer. and you know, every word over the passage of time changes its meaning. And just because marriage means between a man and a woman now doesn't mean anything. That means is that, you know, when social convention changes, the word changes. I mean, think of the word gay.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a perfect example. Yep. You know, they were all lithe and gay and running around the maypole on a summer's day, or in the pick and springtime gay flowers. You know?
I think I was at that party.
Yeah. Or even you know, even the word liberal.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. These words change over time, and marriage will change. The word will change, and it's not, you know, it's not just one meaning for a word. It's ridiculous. I really find that argument, I mean, just so thin.
It's troublesome, isn't it? Now, you know, it was Robert Menzies that introduced state aid to private schools.
Yes, I know. And look, that's our history, because, I mean, the schools originally of course, was started by the churches, and you know, the government school system came in later. But the state aid situation, very testy one, very historical, and you know, people have a very strong view that it's a right to choose and all of those sorts of things. And but I think the bigger issue you've raised around schools is around accountability.
Yep.
And that's why we've introduced a reporting system in our new agreement with the non-government schools, that for the first time they're going to be reporting on a lot more issues comparable to the government school system than they ever have in the past. And I think you'll find that this is a trend and a journey, and that we will all get there eventually.
Excellent. Well, look, we're going to have to leave you there. The last thing
I don't want to go.
No,
I'm talking to you.
We have to, but we're going to hopefully on Saturday Magazine run some live debates between the candidates.
I think that's a great idea.
In the run up to the next
community
election,
loves that, and I think it's really good.
And I've selected a special track for you to go out on, Edith Piaf. I'm not going to try and do the French one. I have no regrets.
Well, I hope I have no regrets, but you know, I've got lots more work to do, and I'm pretty keen to get re-elected. So I'm working hard to make that happen.
It's going to be an interesting fight in Melbourne.
Yeah, no, it'll be fun. Hey, now you guys have a very happy Boxing Day.
We will.
And have a great summer period.
All right, and thanks very much for your time, State Education Minister Bronwyn Pike. This is Leanne and Macca on Joy 94.9.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.